his word. Now, as I was preparing this, I was remembering when I was young. Do you remember the days of film in cameras? Remember, how many of you had a camera? You had to put film in, and then you had to kind of click or wind it on and all that kind of stuff. And my brother took a lot of, my elder brother, he was into, he had a camera before the rest of us. And he would buy film, you know, he would send off, he replied to an advert in a magazine or something, and he would buy like 15 meters of unexposed film, and then he would take it into a very dark, I think he sealed off the cellar in our home, and he would chop it up into smaller chunks and then roll it up. And what he would do, he would take pictures on his film, and then he would, where would you store the film? In the fridge. That's right. And so where the eggs, you know, do you imagine in the door, there was a row where you should put the eggs. There was a row always of film. Now, I got bought a camera, and my brothers did as well. And there was one occasion where I wanted a film. And I went to the fridge one day, as you do. And there was a film sitting right in front of the, right in the door. And normally, John, my brother, when he had completed a film, he wound it all the way into the case. But this film that was sitting in the door had 2 or 3 inches still poking out, which is unused. So I thought, okay, I'll swap it. I'll get another one and put it there, but I need one now. So I slopped that in my camera and took all the photographs. And of course, when I had it developed, there wasn't just my images on it. There was all of John's as well. And can you imagine that, having 2 images? And when we looked at the photographs, I was struggling to see what I had taken. And I had to really focus and work hard to see the image that I'd taken. And then I was talking, showing them to John and saying, where were you? And what was going on for you? And he was struggling to see past my image, just like I'd struggled to see past his, to see his image that was there. Now, I tell that story because when we read the account of Palm Sunday, we have, as it were, a double exposure. In fact, we have triple exposure. We have 2 or 3 images, 2 or 3 stories laid on top of one another. And it's possible to read the story of Palm Sunday and just see, as it were, what we want to see. The, you know, the pictures I took, they're as plain as anything. I can see that. And we read the words and we say, oh yeah, we understand what's there. But somebody else comes along and says, no, hang on. There's another image there. There's another story going on there. And you just have to work hard, but you'll see it. And then somebody else comes along and said, yeah, yeah, there's 2 images, but there's 2 stories. There's actually a 3rd story going on underneath this one. And so today we're going to reflect a little bit on this story that is so familiar to us, that all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, each record in their own distinct way. And we're going to reflect upon it under this heading, peace, praise and prayer, recognizing the reign of Jesus. And just to make it really straightforward, those are my headings. Good. Peace, praise and prayer. You're going to get on well with this, aren't you? Okay, so the first one is peace. And here's an image of reconstruction of Jesus riding on a donkey into the streets of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if you noticed, when we read through, there's a great chunk of this story that is all about the donkey. Have you noticed that? There's so much of it is about the donkey. We have the story of how Jesus sends the two disciples telling them what they're to do. You'll go and find a donkey with a colt. So that's the baby donkey, who's probably still feeding off the mother. You'll find the two of them. If anybody says anything, say the Lord needs them. And then in verse 6, we're told the disciples went and did exactly that. And there's this emphasis, apparently, upon the donkey. And at one level, this is what we have. This is the first story. This is the first image we have. Well, it's about Jesus asking his disciples to go and get a donkey. And a baby donkey as well. Bring the two to him. And we're told the disciples went and Jesus did as he'd instructed them. Verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt. So both are brought. In this image, I don't think we ever have images of Palm Sunday with two donkeys, do we? I don't think so. Normally it's just the one donkey. But Matthew is very clear that it's the donkey and the colt. Probably, as I say, probably still feeding on the mother donkey. And they placed their cloaks on them. So Matthew seems to be saying the disciples spread their cloaks both on the donkey and the colt, the baby donkey. Both have the cloaks spread on them, and Jesus sat again on them. Now I'm scratching my head here. What does Matthew mean? Does he mean that Jesus sat on the two of them together? You know, something extraordinary is going on. And that's, on one level, that's the story. But the second level is seen in verse 4 and 5. So if you've got your Bible still open at that passage, look at verse 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, now, you'll know, if you look down at the bottom of the page, you'll have the reference there, Zechariah chapter 9. So what I want you to do now is turn to Zechariah 9. So we've got the first story, we've got the first narrative, the first image. We all understand that. But Matthew is wanting to say, no, there's something else going on here. You know, let's see a second story underneath, if you're prepared to look at it. So, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, what does it say? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword. Okay, so first image, first story, we understand that's very clear. Jesus, donkey, foal of a colt of a donkey. And, you know, we're not sure we can quite picture what's going on there. But Matthew says, no, there's another image here. Look carefully, another story going on. And it's about God's king. It's about God's king who comes to Jerusalem. And this king announces peace. He will proclaim peace to the nations. So not just peace for Israel, but peace for the nations. And there is a reason why we talk about Jesus as the Prince of Peace, because that is what he does. He announces peace. He brings peace. But you may have noticed something else in that reading as well. it speaks about a military-free Israel. Did you get that? In verse 10, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. So this king, Matthew, wants us to know, yes, you can see what's happening, but underneath this is what God is doing. Underneath this is what God is doing. Here is God's king bringing peace. That's why he's riding the donkey. He's bringing peace. He's fulfilling the prophecy. He announces peace to the nations, and he's going to remove the military might of Israel. Now, this week, I don't know if you picked it up. You know, we mentioned earlier about the gassing in Syria, and immediately the United States respond with $60 million worth of missiles. $60 million worth of missiles. And I don't know if you picked up what happened in the States. So many of the news media that have been against Donald Trump, as soon as he fired those missiles, they spoke of their support for him. Did you pick that up? And our own government, of course. Of course. Yeah, he did the right thing. But it's not the way of God. It's not the way of God. I was talking with Clive. Do you remember a few weeks ago talking about how ancient Rome, the emperor, I may have said this before, the emperor was known as the Prince of Peace. Ironic. But the emperor of Rome was known as the Prince of Peace. And it was said that he had brought peace to the whole world. But when you ask, how did the emperor bring peace to the whole world? Well, he just defeated everybody. And that is one way to bring peace. Just beat everybody else up, destroy them, and you've got peace. And that's what we see reflected today. How do we make peace in the Middle East? Well, you just send missile after missile after missile to the Middle East. You blow them up, beat them into submission, and then we'll have peace. And that is the way we think. Certainly our culture and our society thinks. But the way of God is different. The way of God is to send a king riding on a donkey to announce peace and to take away the military might of Israel, and even to drive out from Israel those who've invaded, to say, this is not my way. Retaliation and revenge is not the way of God. Now, I said there's three images going on. There's three stories. There is the very straightforward story that we all know and we're all familiar with. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The second story Matthew wants to point out to us is fulfilling what the prophet did. And this is surprising and it's striking. But the third story everybody would have been aware of, in that during this Holy Week, as we know it, Pontius Pilate would have, the governor of Judea, would have travelled with his soldiers, with all of the imperial banners and weaponry. He would have travelled from the coast, from Caesarea, he would have travelled down and into Jerusalem from the west. And he would have been communicating, Pontius Pilate would have been communicating, this is power. This is true power. See what my weaponry. See my soldiers. See my force. But Jesus comes riding on a donkey, even on the foal of a donkey. And there could not be a greater contrast between Pontius Pilate entering Jerusalem and God's king entering Jerusalem. If you were going to ride anything You certainly shouldn't be riding a donkey. You should ride a mule. But if you're going to ride a donkey, you wouldn't ride a donkey whose colt is still nursing. But Jesus, we're told, brings the two. So there is another subtext, another story going on in the day about politics and about culture and society. Matthew is saying, look, all of this is happening. If we'll take time just to look and understand and think, this is extraordinary, these different images and stories that we are being presented with. And so we have this focus first on peace. See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. Next up is praise. And I love this image. But if we look back at Matthew, we have verse 8. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we've had peace, the story about peace. But now we have the story about praise. And I love this image, how the young and old are all dancing. And this is Jesus over here and just enjoying the moment. What a great moment is communicated there. Now, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is a quote from Psalm 18. So what are we going to do? Let's turn up Psalm 118. Matthew wants us to do that, to remember Psalm 118. And this is on page 616. It's lovely. It's one of the give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. This is on page 616. Begins, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And this emphasis, his love endures forever. His love endures forever. And then the psalm goes on. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord. He answered me by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. Verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So Matthew is quoting this. This is what they shouted. So on the surface, we understand what happened on the surface. We understand the story. But Matthew says, no, there's another story here. And the other story is, it is better to take refuge in God than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in God than to trust even in princes. Verse 19, open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. You have answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. That's Hosanna. Save us. That's what the people were shouting. Hosanna. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. And so on. Okay. So, praise is uttered. Hosanna, this cry. So, Hosanna. It's become a shout of praise, but really, it's an anguished prayer. Hosanna, save me. Save me, I'm lost. I'm in trouble. Hosanna, save me. And this is what the people cry out. So we know the first story, the first image. Matthew wants us to understand that he's quoting from this psalm. And it reminds us about taking refuge in God. It is better to take refuge in God. Now, I don't suppose for a moment that when the Romans invaded Israel in Judea back in the first century before Christ, and they were still in the first century after the coming of Christ. I don't suppose that things changed dramatically overnight. I would guess it happened more of a drip, drip, drip. Just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And just a little bit at a time, people were gone, do you know, I haven't got the energy to resist. I'll go with it. You know, that kind of, just very slowly, we find ourselves being drawn into a different way of thinking, drawn into a different way of living, drawn into a different way of trusting. How many of the people in Judea at that time thought, well, do you know, our country is secure. It's secure because we have the Roman army here. And that's not bad. Surely that's not bad. We're safe. Nobody's going to attack us because the Romans are here and we're secure. What does Matthew want to tell us? It is better to take refuge in God than to trust in the Romans. Yeah. It is better to take refuge in God. So as Jesus comes on the donkey, the people cry out, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Did the people understand what they were saying? Matthew understood. And he wants us to understand there's another story going on, telling us it is better to trust in God than it is to trust in the forces, the military might you see around us. Okay, quickly, the third is about prayer. Now, in Matthew, flick back to Matthew 21, we're told that after Jesus enters Jerusalem, isn't it a wonderful statement? When the crowd, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Isn't it great? Says the crowds answered, this is Jesus. I just love that. This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. But then we're told Jesus goes to the temple area and he drives out all who are buying and selling there, and got some great images here. Jesus entering the temple area. Here's some salesman with his doves in their cages and so on. And he's remonstrating with one of the money changers here. And, says, you've turned it. It should be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. And scatters all their things and the doves and so on. But then beautifully, we're told that the blind and the lame, we're told in verse 14 of Matthew 21, came to him at the temple and he healed them. Which is beautiful that he does that. Now, my house will be called a house of prayer. You're making it a den of robbers. And here Matthew is taking two different, or Jesus is quoting, first of all, from Isaiah 56 and then from Jeremiah 7. Do you want to turn that up super quickly? If somebody else gets there before me. Say that again. 742 is the Isaiah passage. Put your finger in there. And then Jeremiah, straight after that, Jeremiah 7. Let's get that. So that's on page 764. So 742 and then 764. Okay, so Jesus enters the temple and he shouts out to people, this should be a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand. My righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. To the eunuchs who keep the Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name, and they will not that will not be cut off. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, give them joy in my house of prayer. Okay, so there's the reference to the house of prayer. But Matthew wants his readers to know it's not just that quote. He wants us to understand this is about a people who keep justice, who welcome the foreigner. Do you notice the reference to foreigners and the outsiders? The king who comes. It's about prayer, but it's not just about prayer. It's about justice. It's about welcoming the foreigner and the refugee as well. And then Jeremiah chapter 7, this is on page 764. If we just read from verse 9, will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things. Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Okay, so both of those quotes from Isaiah 56 and then from Jeremiah 7 are reminders to the readers. There's another narrative going on. There's a narrative about peace on three levels. There's a narrative about praise. Again, these three images are all going on at the same time. And you have to look carefully, and sometimes you have to know what you're looking for to actually see it. And there's a narrative about prayer. And this prayer is about justice. The temple is about prayer and it's about justice. It's about compassion going out from Israel to all nations. There's this extraordinary openness that the king of Israel represents, King Jesus represents, this openness to foreigners, to refugees and to all who are needy. So I've raced through that, I'm afraid. But I hope it stimulated you a little bit just to reflect on that, to understand that in this Palm Sunday story that children, we love because it's about Jesus on the donkey and the palm leaves and so on. We love it. But there's other stories going on. And Matthew, in a way, is subverting it all for us. And saying, look carefully, read carefully, and understand King Jesus is other than the kings you have known. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for King Jesus. For King Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Father, we would praise King Jesus. We would shout out for Jesus, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father, we pray also that we would be people of justice and welcome and kindness and compassion. Father, in this simple story, there are so many other levels. And we pray that you would continue to enrich and stimulate us as we reflect upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen.